All right, we're into the home stretch. I know it's been a full day. I think it's been a great day. I've had a blast today, and I think we've really dove in and explored a lot of areas. And so the last part of the day, we're going to talk about the notion of dreaming and celebrating and where we've been. I think it's really important that we've had great accomplishments as a field. Like I said earlier, I think smoking was probably one of the biggest ones we've had, and there's many others that you probably have all seen in your organizations that are really kind of the things that we should step back and say, you know what, we're actually doing pretty good, and we're making some big changes. But I think that there's some things that we could do a little bit differently, but I also think it's important to keep dreaming and to keep innovating and to keep being creative about how we address our programs. And so this is going to be part talk, part activity, dreaming, doing, celebrating. And I love this idea of dreaming and continuing to think about the possibilities and the what could be's. So for a second, I'd like for you all just to think to yourself. I'm going to give you just a few moments here, and think about if you could design the perfect workplace. If you're in a community or working in public health, what would a community look like that if they incorporated all the great ideas that you had? Imagine in your mind, maybe it's your house, maybe you're starting with your house, and how do we really kind of re-engineer maybe what you do at home to create a perfect, healthy environment? So take about 30 seconds, and I want you just to maybe jot down a couple notes or ideas in your notebook of things that, kind of what comes to your head when you picture the perfect workplace or the perfect community. I think that there's everybody out here probably has a very different type of office environment and, are always looking for ways to make it more fun and engaging and how do we make the healthy choice the easy choice or whatever and to kind of, put the fun back into what we do. And I've seen a lot of different types of offices. Actually, I'll tell you another one that's really cool we should ask about is Vic. Vic has an incredible office at Juul and Steelcase. We've got a presenter from Steelcase that'll share with us what they're doing in their organization. But thinking about how do we begin to create environments that people can truly thrive like we're talking about in? Maybe it's building some fun things into your office. Maybe if you're working in the community sector, I know there's a lot of efforts going on and I have the opportunity to work with several communities around the country trying to build, close down old streets and make them, bike lanes only to really, get that active transportation movement going. Maybe it's starting a farmer's market or a festival. It could be at your workplace. I tell you, one of the most powerful things that I ever did in my career was start a farmer's market. It cost us absolutely nothing. And I think it probably provided more education to employees and more engagement, truly, than a lot of the things that we paid a lot of money for. So if you don't have those in your community, think about those or how can you begin to leverage those within your own workplaces. This is a picture from Zappos, and I think Zappos is definitely known for having one of the strongest, organizational cultures. And this might not work for everybody. This works for them, and it works really well for them, and they've gotten pretty well known for that. But that doesn't mean that, you need to go home and buy a box of stringers and make it, look like Mardi Gras. But at the same time, there might be some types of things that you can weave into your culture depending on what is a good fit for your organization. This is one of Welcoa's own, too. I wanted to share that with you. This is Brittany Stoll. She actually just got married, and I can't pronounce her last name, so I won't share that with you just yet, but next time. But this was to celebrate her marriage at Welcoa. We try to make it fun and a good time and to celebrate little things or big things in life, in her case, that are worth celebrating. The thing is that we have to step back, though, in order to do these things and really dream about it. Something that a broker that I was working with recently said, and I think he put it very, beautifully, is that you can't outsource culture. And culture is really important, and it is really individual to organizations. And you really have to think about your culture and dream about your culture for these wellness programs to really work well and for them to be successful. I really think that dreams build realities, and if you don't step back and dream, nothing ever really changes or happens. And I think we've talked about, if you're just doing best practices, you're really not there yet. To start doing things and innovate and be creative. This is what makes good companies great companies, is to really take the time. Some companies have whole departments dedicated to innovation labs and innovation and creativity and thinking about that. Yet a lot of times in wellness, we don't take that same approach and to spend enough time, even ourselves, with really thinking about how to dream a little bit bigger. There are three people that I think are, that were big dreamers in their time that are all, truly in my mind heroes, and there's a lot more out there. I mean, Steve Jobs certainly is one. We all know Steve Jobs from Apple. Think about how much the iPod revolutionized how we listen to music. I mean, who carries a Walkman around anymore or one of those CD things when they jog? Remember those? Right? I don't know if that's dating myself or not, but I mean, it completely changed. He looked at music and innovation and technology in a totally different way, in a different way than every other technology company did at the time, because he thought that it could be very different. And he had ideas that people thought he was crazy for, yet he did them. You know, Oprah's another one. She never dreamed that she would be a big TV personality when she did what she did. And there's some great stories and documentaries on Oprah, but she changed daytime television. She changed lives. She really, it was an impact, and she's a force to be reckoned with, or not a force to be reckoned with, I should say. But she really, you know, dreamed big. And again, there's some, I usually show a video of her, but I figured since we're at Walt Disney, what, you know, more appropriate person would be to talk about Walt Disney. And so coming here, I'll, you know, full disclosure, I've never been a huge Disney fan myself. But I think what they've created is really impressive. I mean, Walt Disney, he's from Kansas, small town in Kansas, had this dream and he couldn't stop drawing cartoons and thought, you know, had this whole new way of creating cartoons and wanted to really revolutionize that, but not just cartoons, to create the happiest place on earth. Now think about that. This guy had a dream to create the happiest place on earth. If you just walked around and said, I have a dream to create the happiest place on earth, people might think you were actually crazy, you know? But he didn't give up. And he was really interesting. If you ever, you know, if you're so inclined, there's a couple on Netflix that I've been immersing myself in lately, trying to understand what is it that kept this guy going? Because he failed a lot. Walt Disney failed a lot. And actually, it's interesting, he signed the rights over to his first cartoons unknowingly early on in his career, and then realized that he didn't have rights to anything, and then started back over again. And his saying goes, it all started with a mouse. And so that was his next generation, it all started with a mouse. But it's a really fascinating story, this guy. And you hear, you know, the good and the bad, and he was eccentric and this and that. And I don't know that any of that matters, and you kind of hear that about Steve Jobs and the other. The point is, he had a dream that he absolutely never let go of, and he was always thinking outside of the box to create the happiest place on earth. I mean, between the Seven Dwarfs, pick your favorite Disney movie. I mean, there's a million, they've all touched every single one of our lives in here at some point or another, whether you care for the theme parks or not. So I've kind of changed my tune a little bit, but I've got a short video that I wanted to share with you about Walt Disney, because we are in Disney World. So we'll watch that for a second. So it's pretty cool. If you don't get a chance to go to the parks, at least I would say walk across the street to Disney or Disney Springs and just check it out. Think about that. You know, the one thing that I think Disney does just an amazing job of is their attention to detail. I mean, if you come here, they'll give you bracelets. I mean, I've been getting texts from Disney people since I've been here. I don't know if you guys have been getting text messages now. But they think of everything, whether you like it or not. They just make sure that you have a magical experience the whole time you're here. It's pretty unbelievable. And I've got a couple quotes from Walt that I thought that would be wanted to share with you all that I think are pretty powerful. All our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. And I think is one thing that I really was impressed with him is that he really did have courage. And I think he truly embodies this quote, because no matter what, he never, ever, ever gave up. And in the face of, I mean, he was bankrupt multiple times. His brother, Roy, finally came to help him kind of create the business and took the business side of it and was his business partner throughout the rest of his career. But really interesting, he was the dreamer. And I like this quote. I thought this was a pretty powerful quote too. Disneyland will never be completed. It will continue to grow as long as there is imagination left in the world. And this reminds me of another perspective that I heard very recently, is that we've got to stop thinking of people as resources, that we've got to start thinking of people as sources. They're not resources, they're sources. That if you think of people as resources, you kind of wear them, you deplete them, they're gone. It's like coal. Eventually it's gone, there's nothing left. Coal is a natural resource. And that people are constant sources of creativity and our energy and engagement. So to kind of change that a little bit, and I think that that's to me what this quote speaks of a little bit. If you can dream it, you can do it, and I also think that that's also true, and sometimes dreams seem very daunting, but I think he's a perfect example, and there's many others, and maybe you have all had dreams in your career that, you know, throughout your life, and they don't have to be as grandiose as creating the happiest place on earth, but you have to start somewhere to make them a reality in your own life. And I like this one, too. This is, you know, it's kind of fun to do the impossible. And to me, this one reminds me a little bit of when Sean Foy and I wanted to put together our initiative of On the Move, because it seemed like such a daunting thing to try to get, you know, companies all across the country and maybe even the globe at some point to compete against each other, you know, in this sort of purpose-driven challenge. But you've got to think about the impossible sometimes. And if you think it's impossible, it quite frankly is. So to be able to think bigger and to try to do things that you never thought you could do really is kind of a fun challenge. So what happens if you fail to dream? And here's a couple companies that I thought were good examples of organizations that everyone in here is probably familiar with, and you've used their products at some point probably. Kodak. I bought a bunch of stock in Kodak when the stock was low because I was like, surely this company can't go out of business. It's Kodak. They invented the digital camera. Did you guys know that? They were the largest producer of film, but they kept all their eggs in one basket, and they didn't innovate fast enough, quick enough, and they didn't do what the others were doing, and they're gone now. It's really amazing to think about. Blockbuster. We all probably went to a Blockbuster at some point, and over the last couple years, I haven't seen a Blockbuster store in a while, but they just started slowly closing their doors. Netflix and Hulu and all these other ones, I mean, just dominated. Even the Redbox, where you could go get movies for a dollar. I mean, so these organizations stopped really thinking about their future and kept all their eggs in one basket. And I think that a lot of times, if we as wellness practitioners don't really think about how to take it to the next level, that eventually our programs and maybe even our jobs will be obsolete unless we start thinking about upping our skills and continuing to evolve. Motorola is another one. Motorola and cell phones. Now we have the Apple, of course, and the Androids, and there are other dominant makers out there, excuse me, as Motorola slowly become obsolete over time. Failure to be creative, failure to dream, failure to innovate new products and new ideas. So why am I passionate about this topic, and why do I think that it's so important? How many of you still dream? And you don't have to answer this because I've already actually asked you guys, and I don't know if some of you, I'm sure, in here took the survey that we did fairly recently, but we asked our members, how many of you still dream? And the results that we got were, quite frankly, not that great, which is why I think it's such an important topic. So the bad news is that 28% of our respondents said that there is no comprehensive vision in place for my organization's wellness initiative, or my clients, if that would be the case. That's quite a bit, so you don't know where you're going. So it's kind of like you're in a car without a map, you know you're taking a vacation, but you have absolutely no idea where you're going, when you're gonna get there, how you even know if you got there. So it's important to really think about how do we begin to create this vision, and to me, vision and dreaming are very much the same thing. Another bad number that came out of this recent survey was 13% said they regularly set aside time for reading, reflecting, and planning. That is not a great number either. So we're not taking the time. And there's a bunch of other data points that I could have shared with you. Most people are over 100% busy most of the time, which I'm not sure how you're over 100% busy, but basically too busy to really do anything else and to take the time to step back. These are great opportunities to come to conferences like this and to meet like-minded people and to really hear from people like Mitch that are doing this in hospitals, doing cool stuff, to hear his dream that he had and begin to start creating your own dream for what you want to do. So we're going to practice that a little bit today. I want to give you, before we dive into the activity, how do you make dreams a reality? And I combed a lot, and basically this is the consolidated version of how you can make dreams a reality into your practice and your program. Well, the first, I think, is pretty obvious, to set aside time to dream, right? We've got to make time in our life to think about the future, whatever that is. This could be our personal dreams, our career aspirations, this could be where we see our wellness program going, how we want to grow our business, whatever the example in your life is, but to take that time, whether it's in the morning. You know, it's funny, how many of you have some of the best ideas sometimes in the shower? You know, a lot of us do. You don't have to raise your hand, but you know, a lot of us do. When we have kind of that moment, we're in our head and we have a little bit of time, you know, it's like our head is not overwhelmed, and Luke talked about digital toxicity, and we're not, you know, checking our cell phones and, you know, laying in bed and going to bed and thinking about all the things that we have doing, but to unplug for a minute and to really separate yourself from all the distractions for a minute. I think this is why nature, again, that's come up several times a day, is such an important place to maybe even set a time in nature to get away and to let your body just sort of absorb and to reflect on what the future needs to hold or should hold for you. So the second thing is to make your dreams visual. And there's two great ways to do this. The first, is journal it. So if you have a journal or a diary or on your computer or an iPad that you use, but to actually write it down. Write it down and keep it near you. I'll tell you another great tool, and one that I have in my house, is a vision board. And so to get pictures or get ideas or whatever and actually put it on a cork board or a board or a whiteboard or whatever, but just to make it visual, because I think that the process of writing it down, articulating it, looking at pictures, makes it become more real in your head, and you can set that intention to make that dream eventually become a reality. Here's another fun, and we'll get to practice this one today too, is sharing your dream and to talk with others. Here's what I'm thinking, what do you think? It's great when you have that kind of flow between two people, and here's my dream, and here's my dream, and sometimes you might have the same dream and you can even work together to make it happen, or just to get ideas and encouragement from others that you might not think it's possible, and they might just have that key to possibility that you were looking for. But I think actively talking about it with your friends, with your kids, with your spouse, with your partner, with whoever, to begin to make that dream a reality and to talk about it. If you don't talk about it and you don't share it and you don't write it down and nobody knows about, the universe is probably not going to help you make that happen until you kind of get it out into the world. You have to believe in your dream relentlessly. And I think this is important. If you don't think it's possible, it's not going to be possible. But to not give up, and I think the greatest lesson from Walt Disney is that no matter what he faced, no matter how many times he failed, he absolutely, absolutely never gave up. His father was against him, his family was against him, everything was going against him, but he still wouldn't give up. And I think this is a beautiful quote. And when you want something, all the universe conspires in helping you achieve it. And I think that that's true. I think if you set the intention and you work with others and you put it on paper, that it will help you make that actually a reality over time. All right. So we're going to take some of those concepts and we're going to put those into practice. We're going to set time aside right now and we're going to begin thinking about big dreams that we have. You guys have heard a lot of things today, a lot of content. We've explored space, sleep, presence, activity, creativity, and eating. We've gone over, you know, some different components. We've heard from Mitch as a practitioner, some things that he's doing in his work site and what's important to him. So I want you guys now, here's the deal. So we're going to think about each one of these components, and there's an activity in your book. I don't know offhand exactly what page it's on right now. 20, perfect, you guys are awesome. So on page 20, the activity is spelled out. So we're gonna do the first piece of this sort of by ourselves, and then the second part of the activity we're gonna pair up and discuss in pairs at our table and with our table. So the first thing is I want you to jot down is how has your program addressed the following components? And it may not address some of these. And that's okay because we're going to get ideas on how to begin to incorporate those. I bet most of us probably has some type of activity challenge that we've built in. A lot of us probably have some sort of nutrition or eating piece. I see some of the biggest, you know, gaps sometimes on the creativity. We might have yoga or meditation for presence. Sleep, I'm not sure about. But I think this would be a good exercise to start thinking about what you all have. And then we can share with the group maybe what others are doing in some innovative ways. So we're going to take 5 minutes, and I want you to, this is by yourself at first to start, so the next 5 minutes, write down where you have these components in your program space. All right. All right. So you guys, it sounds like some of you have moved into part two, which is great. So the next piece of this, and we're going to spend 8 minutes doing this, is to pair up. And I don't, you know, whether you do it as a table or together or just kind of natural areas in your group, and discuss gaps and ideas that you all have been doing in your organization. So you might have some ideas around presence or creativity. And I'll just give you a couple examples of things that I think have been, just to kind of get the conversation started. You know, in creativity, I think some cool ideas and some cool things that I've seen done in the past are like even cooking demonstrations and actually doing some cooking things and to get people creative to share some of the skills that they had. I'll tell you something, a group that was put together back in my Blue Cross days was a knitting group. I mean, I never knew that there was such a demand for people to learn how to knit. But they got together and these, you know, they absolutely, you know, loved it. But opportunities for people to express themselves. Another kind of cool thing that we did in the past was to do gardening. We just had, you know, employees started building a garden and taking those skills and doing it with their homes and things like that. So I think, how do you think kind of out of the box in terms of normal, you know, sort of programmatic stuff to get people, you know, really starting to use the creative side and share skills? I think it's really when people have the ability, whether you love to cook or love to garden or love to knit, is to really begin to share those great things and those talents with other people that you work with. So let's spend the next 8 minutes or so and share with the group ideas of those elements that you've had in your organizations, or start thinking of some things that you think might be good ideas to incorporate, because that's next up in the activity. So, all right, you've got 8 minutes to do this piece. Okay, great conversations out there. Sorry, I'm late to my own thing here, so I'm back. So here is what we're going to do next. A lot of good ideas, and I think that the power of these now is we're going to begin to share with each other one dream and one success story that we have. And so we've got a couple mics in the audience. I believe I have one too here, so I'll kind of run around. But if you're doing something that you'd feel open to sharing, either something that you've done within your organization related to something to do with space, one of the space components, or just something that you really want to send out there, I would love to hear things that you guys have done on presence or creativity, then maybe those in the audience that have done some innovative or unique things, we can kind of start getting the ideas going back and forth. So I'll just kind of kick it to you guys. Let's start with a success story. Who's got a unique success story related to one of the space components that they would be willing to share with the group? So great, we have one right over here. Thank you, Jessica. Hi, we tell us your name too.
Yeah, my name is Carmen Terry. I am a health and wellness coordinator and I work with 8 school districts in Pennsylvania. And this actually just happened 2 weeks ago and I was totally flabbergasted. We have a program called BHIP, Better Health Incentive Program, and it's a mixture of participation and results-based. And I had a lady that came to me 2 weeks ago, and they get points for doing preventative exams because we noticed that our preventative exams for our employees were, these are master's level educated people, weren't doing their preventative. And she went to a dermatologist to get the points for doing her dermatology screening, and she ended up with melanoma. She ended up having a life-saving surgery, and it is amazing to me, and we are actually going to share that story with all of our employees in the month of September.
Nice, great, thank you. Great story, I appreciate that. Good job. All right, let's hear another success story. We've got one in the back, Jessica, right behind you, if you don't mind.
Hi, I'm Pat from Jamaica, nutritionist and health and wellness coordinator. At one of the companies where I work, two of the gentlemen had dreams. You know, this is sharing, in a sense, their dream, their success story. So they came to me. One said he wanted to be off of hypertensive medication, and the other one had lupus, and he wanted to improve his health. So went through a consultation session, and they tracked their progress. And the key thing is that they put the space in action, I mean, without realizing and recognizing the acronym, but lifestyle changes, physical activity, how they were eating, their perspectives, but they kept their focus. And the one with the hypertension, he said that his doctor, we have these passports, wellness passports, and at the back of it, we have a track record. They must track themselves every week. And so he was very deliberate about tracking the record. And he took that to his doctor, because when his pressure reading started changing, he took his track record to the doctor. And the doctor eventually, after three to 6 months, took him off of the medication. So he achieved his goal. And the doctor said, but I need to be on this program too.
That's awesome. Very cool.
And the other gentleman, he's still on medication, but it's significantly lowered. And he's controlling quite a bit, you know, of his health, and he feels much better. He's a lot more productive. He also got married, and he had a baby as well.
That's great. Thank you for sharing. Great story. All right, who's got a dream they want to share? What's something we've got one, right? Lisa, go ahead. Are you sharing us a dream or a success story?
I was going to share a success story.
That's great.
My name is Liz Jones with Liz Jones Wellness, and I was the wellness and benefits coordinator with the city of Mesquite, Texas. And this past year, we did a challenge with our employees with Rip Esselstein, who is, he wrote the Engine 2 Diet. And he was a firefighter in Austin, and he started a Plant Strong diet program with the firefighters and went on to write the book about the Engine 2 diet. He now has the 7-day rescue plan that he was doing, and so we did that with our employees. And so for 7 days, a select number of our employees, we had about 50 people start with the program, participated in that, and one of our winners of the challenge, it was based on cholesterol points that they lost in participation. And we had one person who was a firefighter that participated that lost 74 cholesterol points in 1 week. And he went from a very dangerous level of cholesterol to an actual healthy level of that. And we will also be featured in his book that comes out in January this year as a pilot study for his program. So that was pretty exciting.
Wow, that's great.
I have a dream of having a wellness center that we can do yoga for people that can't afford it, but also go out into corporations and bring corporate wellness and yoga to them as well. So,
very cool. Thank you.
Thank you. That's great.
All right. Let's hear a couple dreams that we have. I'm sorry. Hi.
Hi. I'm Kim Hauge from Kent State University, and I wanted to share a success story that came as a result of several people in this room. We decided to embark in the On the Move Challenge, and Kent State stopped and started a wellness program several times, so a lot of people haven't necessarily trusted that we were serious about it, and they had brought me back in about 3 or 4 months ago and asked me to take over the wellness initiative at Kent State. And we have 8 campuses across the state, and one of the things I had my eye on really making a cultural shift is the On the Move Challenge. And we started that campaign in earnest, and we have about 1,200 employees signed up for the challenge, which is really amazing. If you've worked in academia, sometimes it's really difficult to get faculty, particularly, to get on board. But we did have one special case, so to speak, where a secretary had reached out to me from another campus, a regional campus, and said that they had a quadriplegic that, do you think that he could participate in the challenge? And I said, well, you know, I'd like to circle back to Wellcoa and talk to them about this a little bit. And I knew that Sean would most likely play a role in it. And then I also asked if I could speak to the gentleman to see if that was okay to do that. So I did, and got some insight from what he was able or maybe not able to do. Immediately, Sarah and Sean agreed to reach out to him and talk to him about what he might be able to do, and really, more importantly, what could he do that would make it fun for him. So Sean did reach out to him, and I'm proud to say that he's on board and he's participating in the AMO challenge with everybody else, and that's been a real story that we're proud of, and we're proud of our relationship with you all as well.
Thanks,
so thank
Kim.
You for doing that.
It's an incredible story, and I've seen some of the videos of the stuff he's doing. It really is, it's awesome. So thank you for sharing. All right, somebody else would like to share maybe a dream that they have for their organization or something. Jessica, right behind you, there's a gentleman in the...
Thank you. Hi, my name is Barry Boothelet. I'm a health coach from Northampton, Massachusetts. And I'm doing something that may have been done before, and if it has, I'm not aware of it. And I'm trying to do a health challenge, but I'm trying to do it for a community. So there are a lot of platforms that work with organizations and companies, but I'm trying to take an existing one and use it as a fundraiser for a great nonprofit where I live. And I'm trying to create a model that uses a third-party online health challenge, in fact, with apps and so forth, in trying to adapt it to a larger community and get people involved in using it as a way to raise money for a nonprofit.
That's cool. Yeah, great idea. Thank you.
So if anybody knows of someone that has done it, I'd love to talk to you afterwards.
Awesome. Thanks. What about this side of the room? You guys are quiet over here. So I'm going to start looking at people. We've got one, right? I think I've got a mic. It might be. Oh, Lisa's coming. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Danielle. I work for Pinnacle Assurance. We're a workers' comp company in the state of Colorado. And the dream that we have is that we service about 53,000 businesses in the state of Colorado, some to mom and pop shops. And so our goal is to be able to help all different industries be able to find that connection to worksite wellness in all of the various aspects that they do in servicing our community.
Great, thank you. Who's got a success story over here they'd like to share with the group? Something?
Brian, we have another one.
Oh, this side's outperforming. Back to you.
I'm Matt Plummer. I'm with Marion County, Oregon. So DREAM, basically, as a county, we serve law enforcement, juvenile corrections, public works, administration, health. So something that I want to do with our juvenile detention program is create a gardening program and have the juveniles start providing food for our employees that are paying other farms in our area for CSA or community supported agriculture. So boxes that are delivered to the workplace. And so I think combining those two services where the juveniles are growing, the employees are paying and getting the food, and hopefully getting more connected with just the younger population of our community.
That's an awesome dream. Yeah, very cool. I've done different projects, kind of urban gardens and things like that, and I think when kids take part in growing that have never grown before, they actually start eating their vegetables. I mean, they'll eat them right out of the ground. They won't even clean them. They'll just start putting them in their mouth. I mean, things that they never would normally eat on a dinner plate, if they grew them themselves, they will eat. So it can be a pretty powerful thing. So that's pretty cool. Yes, over here.
Hello, my name is Paige Heath, and I'm with Florida Hospital. I think some of our outcomes and stories of success actually are not only what's going on, but they're also dreams. We right now currently have over 5,000 employees. We've created a day and a half orientation for every new hire to go through, so they get to learn our core values. Also, the acronym CREATION is choice, rest, environment, activity, trust, interpersonal relationships, outlook, and nutrition, and they learn at least an hour on each one of those so that when they get into the hospital, they get to understand what we believe and how we view life is a balance. And so promoting that right from the get-go is a dream which we have all employees then go through.
That's great, thank you. All right, one more before we wrap up. We've got one right here.
I'm Rita White Ross, and I'm from the city of Garland. So it's a municipality, so we have a whole lot of different lines of business. So we instituted wellness champions, and those wellness champions come from each department. And so one department, animal shelter, they needed assistance with walking the dogs. And so we instituted a program, Walk with Fido. And so therefore an employee could get wellness credit for walking the dog at lunchtime. They tried it with cats, but it didn't work, so they used dogs.
Great story. That's awesome. Thank you. The healing power of pets. I mean, animals can do unbelievable things to the soul, so that's great. Any last minute shares, I sound really loud in front of that speaker. Any last minute shares that we have before we wrap that piece up? Well, thank you guys. Give everybody a round of applause. You guys are doing incredible things.